BBC Three presents. A young man slips off his jeans and sits down on a bed. He points out some circular scars at the top of his leg.
That's where I got burned, there.
My scars tell a story.
That's a stab wound there. And then that's a stab wound there. There's just loads and loads and loads and loads of marks. And they were all caused by hammers, just constantly being whacked on my shins. And then my whole head's got just divots and scars.
When the police found me, I was told I was 10 days away from death. I was in love with Jordan, and it took me a long time to have the courage to say she was abusing me. People always ask me, why didn't you walk away? But it's so complicated. As each day goes by, I'm understanding it more.
Abused by my girlfriend. In June 2017, Alex's girlfriend Jordan Worth was arrested on suspicion of assaulting him. Security camera footage. Bedfordshire police tape.
Okay, Alex, so today is Sunday, it's 11th of June 2017. I noticed you've got a bandage to your arm, and I know that you've explained to me you've got some injuries. Are you fit and well to do the interview
today?
Yeah, that's fine. First of all then, if you could introduce yourself.
My name's Alexander Skill, I'm 21.
In your own words, I want you to tell me why you're here today.
I'm here because yesterday afternoon there was... the neighbours heard arguing in the house, so they phoned the police.
Alex playing with a football.
I grew up in Bedford. I basically just played football. Every Saturday and Sunday, I was playing football, pretty much. I didn't really care about girls. I didn't at all. Until Jordan came along.
3rd of June, 2012.
My friend was in a college performance, so I went to it, and she'd come to see her friend. We just started talking, and I was a bit surprised, because I'd never really spoke to many girls at all. It felt quite cool. It was quite nice to say to people, yeah, what did you do at the weekend? Oh, yeah, I met up with Jordan. She was very caring, confident, loving. She just showed a real interest in me.
Where's Alex now? Just when I saw everything, yeah.
Yeah. You're both very young, aren't you? How old are you?
22 and Alex 21.
Okay. So what you were doing?
I was holding a knife. Okay. Just wanted him to come in the house.
Tell me about the knife.
Oh, it was a big one, one from the kitchen. I think it was a bread knife, I'm not actually sure.
So how far do you think the knife went in, Jordan?
I don't think it went that far, but it did, there was a lot of blood.
Alex was a kid that I knew from the playground at school. We just, like, clicked. So it was just normal to get to know his girlfriend. Alex's family were going on holiday, and Alex and Luke weren't going. Sort of teenagers were like, no, we'll have a free house, that'll be cool. Jordan was there, and she was part of the group. We got drunk a few nights, we ended up singing Bastille on a shed roof, and she seemed pretty cool, like, it's all good, like, we're all mates now.
She was friendly when we first met. She was always quite quiet as well, quite timid. Everyone loved her. Everyone thought she was lovely. Everyone thought she was just delightful.
He was just absolutely smitten by her, absolutely loved her to bits. She was just a bit tricky. And we are a really close family and she didn't get us.
She used to say things like, why'd you all sit around a table and eat dinner? She'd say, I don't really like the colour grey. I don't think you should wear the colour grey. Oh, I don't like your hair like that. You should have your hair like this. Oh, I don't like the shoes that you're wearing. But I never took it as a negative. It was just more or less like, oh, it won't impress her, I won't wear it again sort of thing.
Her behaviour started to change. The longer they were together and how the relationship grew, the mind games started playing. We booked Lion King in London for her 18th birthday. We had a great time, it was lovely. And then Alex messages at like midnight going, she's gone, I don't know where she is.
I went into the toilet and I come out and she'd just disappeared, I don't know where she'd gone. We were all just like looking around for about an hour.
London at night.
And I just remember Alex saying, I found her.
She was back inside the hotel, like, reception area. And she's just laughing sort of thing. It was just all a bit weird. Your mum and dad are saying, well, that's not right. And then you're sort of thinking, when it's just us two, it's not like that, so you're wrong.
How does he seem yesterday? I mean, he's got some pretty injuries. Oh, what, his arms and stuff? Oh, in general, I think he's just upset because we've got everything we ever wanted and we're not happy, so it's just 17th of August 2013,
Alex's 18th birthday party.
Alex's mum wanted a big bash for her boys. She loves to show off her boys. And to be fair, like, they were doing so well. Like, Luke just got into uni. Alex was going on to college. I was, like, really excited for that 18th. Seemed like it was going to be really good.
I hired a hall and we had special invites made. He had a Leeds United cake, as he would.
There was my mum's friend's daughter that used to come round quite a bit, and Jordan said, she's there, I'm not going to go, sort of thing. And I said, well, I don't know if she is actually going. And she was there.
And then, like, halfway through the party, suddenly, there's shouting.
Jordan targeted a 15-year-old girl, my best friend's daughter. Beautiful girl, very attractive. She just screamed abuse at her.
He was spending time with his family, his friends, and she just wanted Alex all to herself.
The music just stopped. Alex was sobbing.
Jed was, what do you think you're doing? Telling Jordan to leave the party and stuff like this. And Alex was like, no, I want to stay at the party.
There was like 100 odd people just staring at this argument, and the girl involved was my girlfriend.
I took Alex away to the bathroom and he was just screaming, like, I need to look after her, I need to be with her, like, I love her.
He was saying, look, leave her, leave her, she's not good. I was a bit clouded by what happened because obviously at the time I loved her and everything. I think it was about a week or two afterwards. I remember having a few arguments and then she snapped my SIM card. It's just a penny drop. And I thought, she's just not right. Everyone is right. I thought, no, I'm not doing this. I'm gonna go. That's it. I'm done.
Family photos on a wall.
it was a cause for celebration for us. Like, we thought, finally, we got him back. We felt like we got him out of something very bad. Then just sort of a bombshell was dropped. She come back into Alex's life.
A photo of Jordan walking through a forest.
Out of the blue. She got his friends to go and pick her up, to bring her here, to tell her she was pregnant. And I'm like, yeah, right, that old chestnut. You can do a test in my house. You know, I'm not falling for that. So she did do a test in the house and she was pregnant. I said to Alex, you don't have to be with her, but you need to stand by her.
So that's fine. I don't mind paying my way. But I was thinking, I can't be with you. There's just no way that's happening, because I couldn't do with her.
Constant mind games, time and time again.
And then I didn't hear from her for a year.
Thomas Jay was born 19th of May, 2014.
I got this text to say, are you willing to meet your grandson? And it was like, yes. And she just walked up on my doorstep on the 12th of August. She spun the car seat round and it was just Alex. And I just fell in love with him. And I couldn't shut the door on my grandson.
I went absolutely off my head. I said, why the fuck did you let her in and all this, that and the other?
And I went, I get that and I do understand what you're saying. I said, but please, let me be his nan.
And Mum was like, she seems lovely, she's changed. Being a mum's obviously changed her.
The beautiful little boy there. We all gave her the benefit of the doubt. She's a mum now. You know, give her a chance. And we even said to Alex, give her a chance.
Alex's mum arranged for him to meet the kid, but without seeing Jordan. And it was very much like, he was like, OK, like, that's disassociated it a bit already. Like, I don't have to see her. He still hated her guts, but you can see his kid.
I knew for about a week that I was going to be seeing TJ for the first time. And I sort of said, no, look, I want to do it with Granddad. We're close, really close. Whenever I was ill, I always wanted to be with Granddad. So I remember Granddad driving the car, he's a lovely little boy, you know. He's lovely. You'll love him. I just remember walking in and he's just lying there, kicking around, being a little monkey, basically. And I just thought, well, yeah, that don't really surprise me, because that's what I'm like.
It kind of all went a bit fast forward from that. Before we knew it, she was living with the Skeels.
She was lovely, couldn't fault her. And it was just this lovely, extended, happy family.
Photos of TJ.
She's a mum, and I can't say she didn't love that TJ, because she did. But at one point I said to her, so what is it about Alex you loved? You know, joking about, what is it? And she just said, oh, he's the best. He's just the best.
It all seemed nice, too nice. And it was like, shit. And I said to Jed, I was like, I have a very bad feeling that he's falling for her again. And bloody hell, January 1st, Facebook official, they were together again.
Fireworks in the sky.
He saw this as his life. He felt it was his happily ever after.
It was probably the best it ever was. It was fun. I was happy, she was happy, TJ was happy.
And then the cracks started coming.
She just got back into his head to a point where you couldn't do anything to stop it.
Travelling through the suburbs.
They were out driving and the girl that she attacked at the party was walking on the street and they shouted abuse at her. Of course, her mum rang me and said they're abusing her in the street. I said I wasn't happy with these mind games starting again. I thought we'd gone past that. I thought we'd all moved on and grown up. I said, we're not having it. So she packed all of TJ's stuff up and she told Alex he was to choose.
It was definitely TJ. I didn't want to not see him. I thought, she won't let me see TJ anymore. And I've obviously bonded with him over the last, what, 8 months or something. So I literally just moved out and that was the last time I went home.
He was only 19 when he went away. My world fell apart, really. It was horrible. And I never saw Alex for 2 years.
In an interview room...
Do you love Alex?
I do. Obviously, things have got particularly out of hand in your relationship.
Yeah.
OK. Alex has spent some time with us today, all right? And he's quite upset about what's happened. And he's told us some quite shocking things that have been going on.
In May 2015, Alex, Jordan and TJ moved to Jordan's parents' home.
I was happy and I thought, I'm there for my son and we're going to be a family. Shortly after I moved in, little things changed. She started accusing me of doing things with girls when we weren't together and she was pregnant with TJ. Did I ever see this girl, would ever speak to this girl? I'd say I didn't do that. She wouldn't believe it. And it just got to the point where she kept asking and asking and asking. She changed my phone. I got a new phone and phone number. She got rid of the PlayStation because it was a form of contact to, like, people I knew. I could say I'm a mappet and everything, but you're so caught up in everything, you just don't know.
I didn't know where he was. And I got so desperate that I sent him £1 using mobile banking and just said, I love you. And I got back, I hate you, stay away from me. It was horrible, I grieved for him. I used to have the most horrific dreams. A lot of my dreams would go back to when he was a baby. I was having twins and I went for just a standard check, approaching 30 weeks, you know, faffing and faffing. And I just looked at the nurse and I just said, there's a problem, isn't there? And she said, and she just went straight over to the phone. She said, I've got Mrs. Skill here and I'm losing twin two. I'm bringing her up to delivery now. When I came round, they said, we'll take you to see your babies. Alex was £2. So I said, I don't want to look at him. Take me away. And I was frightened to love him. I've always worried about him. You know, I don't worry about my other two sons, but I always worried about him.
Alex seems relieved that he's now going home, back to his family. He feels he's been isolated from.
He always said he just didn't want to see his family.
He states that majority of the contact with his family has been stopped because you've stopped him having contact.
No, definitely not.
Would you say at any point you have made it difficult for him to see his friends or family?
No. He made it very clear he didn't want to see any of his family. He said he hated his family, he didn't want to talk to his family, he wants nothing to do with his family.
One day, she comes upstairs and she said, oh, my mum's just got a message off of your mum to say that your granddad has died. And I was really, really upset because I couldn't say goodbye. And I just kept thinking, well, how am I ever going to forgive myself? And then a few hours later, she was, why are you upset? I said, well, because you just told me that probably the most important person in my life has died. And she was like, well, he's not dead. She think, yeah, he's gone, and no, he isn't. She obviously was jealous of the bond that I had with granddad's.
Photos of Alex's granddad, then sunlight breaking through silhouetted leaves. In July 2016, Alex and Jordan left Jordan's family home to live on their own in Stewartby. Trees in the suburbs, then a toddler plodding along.
That first like month, it was brilliant. It was really good. We had a nice house in a nice place. There was no arguing. And if everything carried on the way it was and kept going to plan, we'd have been absolutely fine. We'd have been more than fine. We decided that we'd try for another child.
And then straight away, we found out she was pregnant. And I thought, well, that's like amazing. I was really happy. But then everything just gradually got worse and worse and worse. I went to work. It was a really good job and I really enjoyed it. She told me that I needed to leave because it weren't good enough. I didn't like leaving. She was going to university. Jordan said, you're going to come to uni with me every day because I don't trust you at the home because you're going to go back to see your mum and dad without me knowing. I don't know how I would have got the money. She took my wallet off me. So then after that, I just went to uni with her every single day.
Alex become a ghost. Like, he's untraceable. And he's missing all these massive things we'd spoke about years before. I literally could not listen to Bastille while he was away. Bastille would come on and I'd start crying in the middle of a club.
We found a Facebook page of Alex, but his name was spelled A-L-I-X and his middle name of Thomas. And that was very weird.
Messages about the name change on a social media site.
Sent it a friend request and I got a message off Alex and I was like, right, here we go. I knew it wasn't a message off Alex. It was like, I've never been your fucking friend. I've never wanted anything to do with you. I've all just been lying to you this whole time. And I remember literally replying, you're right, Jordan, it's finally my turn then, is it? And then just blocked.
Gerald, Alex's granddad.
17th of August, 2016. What I said was, happy birthday, Alex. We miss you very much. Love you, Nan and Granddad. All I got was, don't message me again. And that really cut me out.
I received a message from Alex's Facebook account. It said something along the lines of, are you still fat? Something she knew would potentially upset me.
A Facebook page told me that they'd moved into a house in Stewartby. So we knew roughly where he was, but we didn't know where. I said, look, I'm putting a stop to this. I'm going to find him. I'm going to go and find him. A friend of mine who was brought up in Stewartby, he drove round as well. She loved elephants. My son George was with me and he said, there's an elephant in the window up there. So I said, that's got to be it then. So I banged on the door and all the lights went dead, black, nothing. And then at one point a downstairs light come on and I saw the outline of Alex going to the kitchen and then the light went out, went back upstairs. And I just said, he hates us. You know, when he's ready, we'll see him. But until then, we've just got to leave it.
He says that you go at him about this period of time that you had a break in your relationship, OK?
It always goes back to
that, yeah. And that you question him relentlessly and that you go on about it a lot and that if he doesn't answer you, you then become violent towards him.
We went to Winter Wonderland in London. She would just accuse me all the time of liking these girls. And as soon as we got in, she said she's got a message off one of them. And I said, I didn't do anything. It's because you're not telling me the truth. So we kept walking. And she's like, oh, we're not gonna go. And I said, no, we are, because we've come all this way. It's just pointless to just go back. Then she was like, go into Boots and buy some one a day sleeping tablets. And as long as you take one, we'll go. I got the sleeping tablets. I just took one. And she goes, put all the rest of them in your mouth. So I put all of them in my mouth, and then she said, crunch them down and then swallow them. I just did as I was told. It was really strange. I was like full on dozing off. It was so strong. I don't remember anything about how we left there.
Alex has said, since mainly that you've been living at this address, yeah, he has almost been attacked or physically put through some sort of assault pretty much every day since about September. He states if you missed a night of hitting him, you would then make up for it the next night.
I don't know why he would say that.
We went out and everything seemed okay. And I looked out the window and she goes, right, that's it. And she picked up her hairbrush and she just full on went whack straight there. And the tooth was near enough off. I had no money. I didn't drive. So in the end, I just went like that and just ripped the tooth out.
Tell me about this hairbrush that you keep in the car.
Well, whenever we've had an argument in the car, I'll wrap just my hairbrush in the side and I'll just sort of hit him either wherever I can.
There was so many occasions where I would be asleep and she'd smack me on the head and I'd just go in the mirror and I'd look and I'd just be bleeding.
There was a hammer, but I never hurt him.
She started to use knives.
I only ever cut him, I never stabbed him.
Photos of injuries.
I wasn't eating properly. She didn't let me.
Sometimes he said, oh, can we cook pasta? And I'll say no, because I'm not hungry.
She said, you're not allowed to sleep in the bed. So I slept on the floor.
Yeah, that's very true. Me and TJ sleep in the bed.
I could feel that my body was starting to shut down. I didn't want TJ to get hurt, so I was fighting to keep going because I didn't know what was going to happen if I was to leave.
I was beside myself. We were angry, we were hurt, we were upset.
It was horrible. It was always that, like that missing link to us all.
At 2:30 a.m. on the 3rd of February 2017, Alex called his dad, Graham, for help.
His dad, Graham, called me and said, come on, Sue, will you come with me? He's asking for help down the phone. So we went back to the house, get there, all the lights go off again. And I said, if you don't open the door, I'm ringing the police. And he was going, go away, I don't want you here. And he said, no, you've called for help and I'm here. Two cars came. They told us to sit in the car while they went in. And they came out to us and said, oh, they've had a row.
The police said they must put him in separate rooms, had a word with them, it's all fine. But your son is walking with a limp. And that was it.
We went and watched Bastille in a concert in Leeds. It was fun. Like my favourite band in my favourite city. But the next morning, I remember waking up in the morning to boiling water being poured on my back. And it was horrible. It hurt. It was so sore.
And it was so bad, he screamed.
Never in Leeds, never.
He says that he's told to make a story up to
tell your parents that the shower in the hotel was faulty?
I don't. Sorry, I don't know why.
A gadget.
Have you ever subjected him to a lie detector test?
Yeah.
Would you do that regularly?
No, we only did it one, I think it was like one day we did it.
She got a £5 lie detector and she told me to strap my hand in it. And she had a boiling water kettle. The lie detector buzzed to suggest that I was lying. I ran off and I just ended up just slamming the door shut.
2nd of May, 2017. Alex and Jordan's daughter, Iris, is born.
I was looking forward to it for a reason. It could change her from doing all the stuff she's doing to me, and it might stop it. But that lasted about 3 days.
31st of May, 2017, 4 weeks after Iris was born.
We would literally be up all night, and should just wait with a boiling water. And if it went cold, she'd just go and reboil it. I was backed into the corner upstairs in, like, the study room, and she didn't do it with a little side. She lifted the whole lid up and just threw it. Yeah, I screamed, like, full-on screamed. A couple of days after that, she had a bread knife on her. And I tried to run off, and this hand was then cut across.
Stitches on his hand.
It was like middle of the night, like 2 a.m. I was trying to stop her from getting in the bathroom, because I'd had enough. And then I stood on the toilet, and she went to go at my head, like here, so I went like that. Actually started panicking a little bit. I just remember sitting there, and I think we tied it up with like a football sock or something. Tied it up really tightly on my wrist. The next thing, the police knock on the door and there's blue flashing lights.
A police officer.
At the time I was frontline response police constable. We got a 999 call for a domestic disturbance between a man and a woman, called in by neighbours.
Deputy police, how can I help?
There's a couple and it sounds like they're having a really, really bad fight. He's shouting and I'm sorry, not my fault. Get off me, leave me alone. Stop hurting me.
The officer driving along.
We arrived, we had to do quite a bit of knocking and, you know, police opened the door, shouting, and eventually Jordan came to the door and she looked fine, you know, she was sort of casually dressed and didn't look dishevelled or anything, and she straight away said, oh, there's been a problem, Alex has hurt himself. She let us in and we went upstairs, and at the top of the stairs, Alex was sat with a towel wrapped around his arm and just blood everywhere.
A body cam showing blood in the bathroom.
There was sort of a large serrated kitchen knife. And Alex and Jordan were both telling us that he'd used that knife to cut his wrist, basically. And she was explaining that Alex suffered from a medical condition that caused him to have bouts of self-harm. But then I sort of noticed other injuries on Alex. And again, when we questioned it, they were both quite sort of calm and rational and explained that, yeah, you know, Alex has this long-standing history of self-harm. It didn't appear that there'd been any incident at all between them. It's certainly not how it came across. We left. Alex went to hospital.
An emergency department.
I was lying there with, like, a paracetamol dripping my arm, and they had to, like, scrape all of the rubbish skin away, and literally it was just left red, pink and raw. I was just about to go in to have the surgery and Jordan brought me out the hospital. The nurses kept saying, please stay with us, please stay with us. And they ended up getting the consultant down. And as I walked off, he sort of held me by the face and then, like, put his hands... And he goes, are you sure you're safe to go home? And I said, yes. It's strange, because the whole thing was the right time at the right place. But I didn't say anything. I kept saying I did it to myself. It was me. I was scared what she was going to do.
Sergeant Ed Finn, Bedfordshire Police, driving along.
But something about it just didn't feel right. So I was on shift the next day, and as soon as I got on duty, the first thing I did was try and track Alex down. But I wasn't able to get hold of him. A few days after that, on our job system, I saw Alex's address, and there was a call just coming in. So I called up straight away and said, I'm going.
We were just shouting and arguing. And the next thing, the door knocks and there's a police car outside, and I opened the door and it was Ed standing there and had a really nice smile on his face.
Hello. How you doing, mate? Remember me? What's been going on today, mate?
As soon as I saw him in the light of day, the state of him, to be honest, in terms of, you know, the countless injuries all over his body, the fact that he had these horrible dirty clothes on, he was pale, thin... I thought, this is what I think it is. This is, he's been abused.
I'll tell you what, Alex, you want to come and have a chat with me? We'll go upstairs. Are you all right down here for a minute, Jordan, yeah? Dude, have you been assaulted or anything like that?
No, no assault, nothing. It's just arguing. We're just so stressed out.
Are you 100% sure, Alex?
Yes, I'm 100% sure.
I know you've said this to me the other night, and you're obviously saying it to me now, but are you 100% sure? Because you're not looking me in the eye, you're looking at the floor. Those injuries, you're saying you've done them to yourself. They could easily, because of where they are, they could easily not have been done to yourself, right? And just hear me out.
Even in the house, he was not budging on his story at all. He was absolutely adamant, no, I do this to myself, I do it to myself.
I didn't really want any commotion. I know if the police get involved, it would possibly be really difficult. I was always thinking, how would she react? If I did anything wrong or not what she wanted, she would go off her head. That was what was running through my head the whole time.
Sorry. Yeah, question.
I just wanted to try and be as much on his level as I could. You know, he's a few years younger than me, but you're not a dissimilar age. You know, we're both blokes. And I thought, I need to get him out of this environment.
Let me go down there anyway and get him redressed. Grab a jacket and some shoes, mate, whatever you got, wallet, whatever.
So, wait, are you coming back here tonight?
Yeah.
For me,
yeah.
And then I'm going to come back here tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't really need to come to me?
No. So you know where each other are?
Filmed on the body cam, Alex kisses Jordan.
He sat me in the police car and he said... Right, we're not leaving there until you tell me the truth. You need help, she needs help, your children need help, you all need help. And I still said, no, I'm doing this all to myself.
I turned my camera off and I just said to him, look, my camera's off, it's just you and me in this car.
Straight away, I just said it. And I said, please go on what the neighbours have said, because I don't want to say that it's come from me.
He just quite calmly said to me, yes, it was her.
I just need to explain to you that at the moment, you're under arrest on suspicion of assault occasioning grievous bodily harm.
I sat her down in the living room. I didn't really know what to expect in terms of how she was going to react, because she's very slight, very well-spoken, very polite, you know, to all intents and purposes, friendly and well-meaning young lady.
Obviously, Iris with your parents. Are you happy with that?
That's fine,
yeah.
And on the drive back, she was saying to me, oh, so, you know, how long do you think I'm going to be in? Do you think it'll be maybe an hour? And I said, no, it might be a bit longer than that.
Ambulances parked at a hospital.
Once we allowed him to get to the hospital by sort of removing her from the equation, the doctor said that they reckon had probably 10 days from death. You know, things couldn't have got much worse than what they were for Alex. That night we put Alex in a hotel, and I think one of the police officers bought him a McDonald's on the way to the hotel, and he said it was like the best food he'd ever eaten because he hadn't eaten a proper cooked hot meal for so long.
Swan swimming on a river.
I had like a buffet breakfast in the morning and I was overlooking Bedford River. I actually sat there and I giggled to myself. There's me. I've got a T-shirt on which has bloodstains on it still because I didn't have any of my clothes. I just looked a mess, bandages, and I have all these posh people in ties and going, oh, it's a lovely bacon. And I'm sitting there just like, I don't care if I feel out of place here.
Ed posted on social media, "Yesterday, I dealt with the worst domestic of my career to date." Police headquarters.
Okay, so, Alex, have you ever acted in self-defence towards Jordan?
I've never lashed out. Because I haven't on purpose. I don't want to hurt her.
No. Okay. Tell me why you've never reported it to the police or anybody else.
Because I thought it would blow under the carpet one day.
Yeah.
I thought it would be fine.
We talked in detail about the incidents that happened on the 3rd of June and 10th of June when the police attended, okay? And you've accepted that you have thrown water over him that was boiling, okay? And you have accepted that you swiped at him with the knife and cut him, all right?
And the other times were just maybe like...
But you can't argue about those injuries, because they're quite obvious, because the burn marks and the cuts, okay? Because police attended on both these occasions, right?
I appreciate it's stressful. You're both quite young. You've got young children. Yeah. Do you suffer from any mental illness yourself?
No.
Ever suffer from depression?
No.
Any suffered from any postnatal depression after either pregnancy?
No.
How do you feel today about moving forward? What are your thoughts and feelings at the moment?
I just don't want to get hurt anymore.
28th of September, 2017. Jordan is charged with 17 counts, including grievous bodily harm and controlling or coercive behaviour.
Phone was ringing, and the phone call was the sergeant, and she said, "Just to tell you, your son is safe and well." And I said, "What's happened?" I said, "She hurt him." She went, "Yes, he's been burnt, stabbed, and slashed."
Lowering her gaze.
I just screamed. My sister took the house line and she said, "Alex is on his way. He's on his way home. He wants to go. He wants his mum."
She breaks down. A photo of Alex asleep in bed.
What he looked like coming up, he couldn't even barely walk up the path. Then I said, "Can I have a cuddle?" And he goes, "Please, just give me a cuddle, Mum."
Another photo of a very thin Alex fast asleep.
He said, "I'm sorry." And he was, his body. He didn't even smell alive.
Alex being hugged by his granddad.
And he said, "Oh, look, the last bullet she's got now is my children, and I need to make my children safe." And within 5 days, they're with us. And I just remember meeting my granddaughter for the first time. I didn't even know she was born.
Alex arrives at his friend's house.
"Hello, mate. How are you?"
It was so surreal seeing him again. I just grabbed him, made sure he was real. And, just hugged him very tight.
I'm literally buzzing, mate. Yeah.
Alex driving along.
It was good to have him back. He was safe again. But it was just horrible to hear about what she did to him and what she put him through, especially when it's one of your best friends.
Jordan pleaded guilty to 3 of her 17 counts.
Her sentencing day, there was no sense of remorse, I'm sorry. The only thing the judge did say was Jordan doesn't blame Alex for anything that she did to him.
I think in her mind, the more she did and seeing him stay, the more she felt like he really did love her because he still stayed. And it's really weird to even comprehend that because most people wouldn't even think about pushing the person they love, like, just wouldn't cross their mind.
On 13th of April 2018, Jordan was given 2 7-year sentences for wounding with intent and grievous bodily harm to be served concurrently, and a consecutive sentence of 6 months for controlling or coercive behaviour. Jordan was the first female in the UK to be convicted of this charge.
The day that she's going to prison, I felt so free. It was a massive relief. I remember just sort of saying, I can actually look over my shoulder now for the first time in 5 years without worrying.
It's good that we got there when we did. But because it's so unusual, it's a female offender, just didn't come together in our heads as quickly as perhaps it should have done. I was quite critical of myself after the incident because I felt like I should have challenged more and seen it more the first time I attended the address.
We'd all be lying if we didn't say that we don't sit back and think, how does this happen to a man? It did start very, very subtle, not allowed to see his friends when he wanted to, having to have his hair cut a certain way, only allowed to wear certain colours. That's how it all started. It didn't start with a knife to his leg. It took a long time to get to that.
How have you scored that?
Domestic abusers, doesn't matter what gender they are, a victim is a victim and an abuser is an abuser. There can't be any gender tied to it because it doesn't matter. Like, a victim still hurts whether they're a male or a female, and an abuser is still just as nasty whether they're a male or female, and it's as simple as that.
A tattoo on his arm reads Jordan.
Now that I'm free from the relationship, I'm beginning to understand abuse better. And I hope I can help others understand it too.
Right, spread around. No, Joe, you're just blocking the pass off.
I'm starting with the football team I coach. They are sponsored by a domestic abuse charity. And I'm talking to professionals about how to recognise signs of abuse.
It's going to be locally set up, and that's what the groups run out of.
The memories will never leave me, but I'm learning how to cope.
A new tattoo.
Here you go, jumped in that looking mess.
Thank you very much, I like that.
Are you all right?
I have so much support from my friends and family, and I'm building a future for me and my kids.